We'll start in Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 36. We'll read there for our text tonight, and then we'll be in a couple of different places. And Matthew 26 and verse 36. This is in my heart as we head in towards Easter, where we've got Easter coming up on April the 20th, I believe. And this announcement's not in the bulletin. It will be, but it's in our heart on Easter Sunday evening to have communion. And so remember that. Remember to invite people to the Easter service. People are a lot more inclined to go to church on Easter. And I'm not going to fuss at them if it's their first time here. Amen. But I will preach the Word of God to them. So you just try to get folks to come and invite them to come, love on them, and let God do what God wants to do in their heart and in their life. In verse number 36 of Matthew chapter 26, I have a simple message tonight, but I tell you, just because it's simple does not mean it's not profound. The Bible said, "Then cometh Jesus with them," and here's my text tonight, "unto a place called Gethsemane." God's got it in my heart to look at several places between now and Easter. And the first place I want to look at is called Gethsemane. "And he saith unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took it with him, Peter and two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." And the Bible said he went a little further and farther. In one of the other texts, it said he went about a stone's cast. And I looked that up a while ago, and I could only imagine. I thought maybe it was, kind of like a span as a measurement in the Bible. I thought maybe there was an official measurement. But what it means is basically, it's a short distance, but it's not specified. It's a short distance. He went about a stone's throw. He went a little farther. I will say this. It was far enough. The disciples, they sure wasn't close enough to know what was going on, or they wouldn't have went to sleep. I'll give you some things here in a minute. The Bible said here, went a little further and he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." He cometh to find his disciples and findeth them asleep and said unto Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour and watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation? The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." How many could say amen right there? The flesh is still weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done." And he came and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them, and he went away again, and he prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to the disciples, and saith unto them, "Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me." Father in heaven, I thank you tonight for the reading of the Word of God. Thank you, God, in the Bible for a place called Gethsemane. Lord, this doesn't need to be tonight just a place in history that we look at. Lord, it needs to be a place in our lives that we come to. I pray, God, tonight that you'll do what's needed in our midst. Help me, Father, tonight to, Lord, just to give my dear people the truth that you've given me in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, I'd like for you to go back with me, please, tonight, for just a moment, 1 John. I'll show you something. Lord put this on my heart just a few minutes ago. I was sitting there and the choir was singing about Calvary. In verse number 6 of chapter number 2 of the book of 1 John, I think I read this morning. Didn't really magnify it, but I read it. He that saith, he abideth in him. If we say we abide in him, the Bible said he ought himself also to walk even as he walked. How many believes that's right? If we say we're Christian and we say we're abiding in him, then we ought to walk like he walked. Now, you say, preacher, I don't understand what that's got to do with Gethsemane. I'll tell you what we need. We need a Gethsemane in our lives. I'll show you something tonight. I believe it'll be a help to you. The word Gethsemane comes from a term that means oil press. In the days of the Jewish nation and Israel, they would take the olive oil and they would press those olives and get the oil out of it. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, I believe it was, that he was pressed out of measure. I'll tell you what life will do sometimes. It'll put you in a bind. It'll put you under some pressure. Amen. And sometimes we wonder, when all that's going on, where God is. But I'll tell you what he's doing. He's helping us to Gethsemane. He's helping us to a place like that we can see the Savior's in tonight. Let me just give you 5 things quickly tonight about this place called Gethsemane. Number 1, it was a place of solitude. It was a place where Jesus would go to be alone. He left the multitudes and he took a few with him, but then he even left the few and went on a little farther. I say there's not one thing in this world wrong with a husband and a wife praying together. I think God's for that. With a mom and a dad and children praying together. I believe God's for that. But I tell you what, the kids need to go a little farther. Dad needs to go a little farther. Mom needs to go a little farther. They need to find them a place all by themselves. Amen. And bear their heart out to the God of heaven. Here the Lord Jesus showed us that. The Bible said it was about a stone's cast. He went a little farther. It was a place of solitude. Many times in the Word of God, Jesus would go apart. Into a mountain apart to pray. He would get off from the hustle and off from the bustle. And I believe it would change us tonight if we had a Gethsemane in our lives. A place to get alone. Amen. A place to get with God. I remember different preachers having different places in the pines or at a rock or whatever. But I just know this tonight. It needs to be a place of solitude. It needs to be a place. I remember hearing a story one time about a man that was coon hunting and come up on a preacher that was praying. And I tell you, he didn't know what he had come upon. Amen. I tell you, it ought to be that way. There ought to be a place in our life, like Gethsemane, where we get apart and we get alone with the Lord. The Bible talked about entering into your closet. That's anywhere that you can just get alone with him. Amen. And spend some time in prayer with him. Spend some time. It's a place of solitude. Secondly, it's a place of supplication. The Word of God said that he kneeled down and prayed. He said, while I go and pray yonder in Matthew, turn with me to the book of Mark just a moment, in verse chapter number 14 and verse number 32. It's amazing how the Gospels are put together and how that God will give you, I call them tidbits, in one story that you miss in another story. If you'll look at Mark chapter number 14 and verse number 32, let's look and see what it says here. He said he came to a place, it's same thing there, which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and he began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And he saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here. And watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed. If it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, Abba, Father, all these things are possible. All things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not as I will. The point is tonight is not just to get alone, but do something when you do get alone.
And that is pray to the God of heaven. Make supplication. How many believes tonight that the Bible has made us and declared us to be kings and priests unto our God? The priesthood of the believer is being overlooked, I believe, in these days many times. We can make intercession for others. Amen. We can intercede for those that are lost. We can intercede for those that are sick. We can intercede for those that are dying and those that are suffering and those that are hurting. The Word of God said he kneeled down and he prayed. If you will, look with me at Luke chapter 22 for just a moment and verse number 39. Luke chapter 22 and verse number 39. Listen to what the Bible said here. In Luke chapter 22, we go over to verse number 39. And the Bible said he came and he went. He came out and he went and he, as he was wont. In other words, he'd done this before. To the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. Also followed him. And when he was at the place. Now it doesn't say here called Gethsemane, but we know that's the place. He said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. And the Word of God said he kneeled down and he prayed. Can I tell you something tonight? I don't believe we have to kneel down to pray. But I tell you something right now, after reading this, it makes me want to kneel down somewhere and pray. It makes me want to kneel down because, listen, when I kneel down, what it's telling my Heavenly Father is that I'm the one that's in need. I didn't come to tell him what to do. I come because I need him to tell me what to do. I didn't come to give him direction. I come to get direction from him. Amen. The Bible said there he prayed. He kneeled down and he prayed. And he said, Father, if it be possible, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Now go with me to the book of John for just a moment, please. John, just a moment. And chapter number 18. It reads absolutely nothing like. There's a different emphasis put here in the book of John. In chapter number 18, I've often said, and I'll say it again tonight, when these stories are in the Gospels, you ought to read it every time it's in there. Amen? It doesn't mean there's a discrepancy. There's not. I try to illustrate it like this. If a wreck takes place at an intersection, and somebody's standing on that corner and they see the wreck, somebody standing on that corner and sees the wreck, somebody standing on that corner and sees the wreck, somebody stands on that corner and the policeman interviews all four corners. They saw the same wreck, but they're going to give different aspects. One's going to pick up on something that somebody else did not pick up on. And let me say this, the Holy Ghost is the one that gave them what he wanted them to say about this place called Gethsemane. Now the Bible just said here, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden. And we know that's Gethsemane, into which he entered and his disciples. Now watch this now. And Judas also, which betrayed him. Look at this. Knew the place. Let me ask you a question tonight. Does the devil know the place in your life? I tell you something tonight. I don't believe he's afraid of us until we're on our knees, until we're in this book, and then he can't do a thing with us. Amen. I believe tonight that the devil ought to know the place. I believe tonight that the devil, like Judas, ought to know the place. Watch this. How did he know the place? Watch this. For Jesus, oft times. He didn't go there once in his life. He went there often in his life. Oft times. Jesus, oft times, resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and with weapons. I'll just give you some things tonight. It's a place of solitude. It's a place of supplication. But let me give you this tonight. It's a place where there's a struggle going on. Amen? You say, listen, even in this story, we need to understand that Jesus is God, but Jesus is man. Amen? You say, preacher, I don't understand. Well, it's given it to us right here. Jesus said in another place, he said, for this cause came I into the world. He knew he was headed to Calvary. Yet here, he's struggling. There's a struggle going on. Amen? And he says, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. How many can say that about some things in your life? If it were possible, you'd rather not went there. Amen? Rather not went through that. But he said, nevertheless, not as I will. My friend, it was a place of sorrow. It was a place of struggle. I believe with all of my heart tonight, when you read this, and it tells us in one place that his sweat became as great drops of blood. There's such agony of spirit and such agony of soul. I believe tonight, listen, that we can have revival, but I don't believe we're going to have it till there's some sweat involved, until there's some sorrow involved, till there's some agony involved. And listen, in that one place I read a minute ago, he said, "Oh, my Father," until there's some more O's back in our prayer life. "Oh, God, we need you to do something for us." Amen. I believe when God hears that, God answers that. It was a place of sorrow and a place of struggle, a place of solitude, a place of supplication. Let me just ask you something. Some of you all been around this thing a lot longer than I have, been saved longer, serving longer. Let me ask you, what's the one thing the devil fights? What's the one thing the flesh fights more than anything else in your life? He don't care for you to go through a daily Bible reading routine as long as there's not a Gethsemane with it, as long as there's not a place, a prayer, a place to get alone with God. He don't care a bit. Because let me just say this tonight. Where there's no place, there's no power. There's no power. There's no power. There's no power. There's no power in the... Oh, listen, let me tell you something. We got a wonderful choir. He said, "That's not good English." I said, "We got a wonderful choir." Amen. We got a wonderful pianist. Amen. I know it's Anist, not Nanist. Amen. We got a wonderful song leader. Amen. And Brother Ralph and Brother Fred. And I'm going to tell you something right now. What if everybody in that choir come in out of Gethsemane to sing? Come in out of a place of prayer. What if every Sunday school teacher at Bible Way come in out of Gethsemane, come in out of a place of sorrow and struggle and said, "God, give me my class or let me perish." Amen. I'll tell you tonight, I believe it changes, don't you? A place called Gethsemane. As he is, the Word of God said, so are we in this world. I'm not being fanatical tonight. I tell you, I believe God expects you and I to have a Gethsemane in our lives. A place to get alone and pray. A place of solitude. A place of supplication. A place of sorrow and struggle. Now, I want to ask you a question tonight. I'm going to just take our spiritual temperature. Did anybody in this building? You say, "Preacher, I don't know who that was that raised their hand this morning." How many of y'all realize God does? Did anybody in this building this afternoon find a place to say, "Oh, God, would you get a hold of that young man's heart, whoever it is, Lord? God, would you help them? Lord, they're hanging in the balance between heaven and hell, and they need a touch from God." Did anybody pray? Listen, I'm not trying to be mean tonight, but if we're not careful, we'll come to church and go to the house and forget about it. If we're not careful, Brother Brian will read us the prayer request and we'll take the prayer request. We'll go to the house and forget about it. When God wants us to have a Gethsemane in our lives, a place where we can enter in to that struggle, enter into that sorrow. Let me ask you something. Is that soul worth fighting for? How many knows when we go to pray, the devil's going to fight that? The flesh is going to fight that. Amen. This world is going to fight that. If ever in the world a telephone's going to ring, it'll be when you go to pray. So what do, preacher? Just get up a little earlier. How many's found out them things don't ring near as much early in the morning? Amen. They don't. I'll tell you what, do. Just get up a little earlier. Walk with God while men are sleeping. And walk with men when they wake up for the glory of God. A place of sorrow and struggle. Let me give you this. This is important tonight. How many believes we need a Gethsemane? Listen, Jesus has got one. He's been there. He didn't just go there once, but this trip is unlike any other. Amen. Let me give you this. Number four, it's a place of absolute surrender. It's a place of surrender. Listen to me tonight. God's dear people, please hear what I'm about to say. If we're not careful, we'll be afraid of what God might require of us if we surrender. Let me tell you something right now. perfect love casteth out fear. I tell you, if you just so fall in love with Him and you can come to the place, say, Lord, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Whatever you want me to be, I'll be for the glory of God. I'll tell you tonight, Jesus came to a place where He said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But I like this, nevertheless, not as I will, but Thy will be done. A surrender, a perfect surrender. I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't believe that's easy. Somebody say amen right there. I don't believe that's easy done. Amen. I believe when God brings us to Gethsemane, He wants us not just to pray, but He wants us to surrender. He wants us to be like Isaiah. Here am I, Lord. I don't know if Isaiah's hands were up or not, but I can sure see them up. Here am I, Lord. Send me. God said, I'm going to send you. We'll send you to a people that won't listen. What about that? Well, did Isaiah go? He sure enough did, didn't he? Let me give you something right quick. God just showed me this. That's Isaiah 6. How many knows what's in Isaiah 7? Who's he talking about, Brother John? Isaiah 7, Isaiah 9. I tell you what, he got to talking about Jesus. Ain't that right? Amen. He saw the Father, amen, high and lifted up, the Bible said. His train filled the temple. He said, I saw also the Lord. And when he surrendered, he got to see the Son of God coming, born of a virgin. The one, my friend, that would be called the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Dear Lord, tonight, a place of surrender. I will give you this tonight. I believe it's important. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to John chapter 18. There's a place here, I'm not sure. I'll have to look just a minute and find it. Because this is my final point, but I want to give it to you. I might have to find this tonight. And we'll be in Mark chapter 14 in just a minute. Mark chapter 14, just a minute. It'll take me just a minute, but I'll find it. I used to get nervous about stuff like this, but I got over it. Amen. I didn't make a note of where it's at, but I'll find it. I've been in here this afternoon. I'll find it. It's right here. Mark chapter 14 and verse number 40. Let's look at Luke just a minute. Let's look over here in the book of Luke. No, it's not there either. Yes, it is too. Thank you, Jesus. Luke chapter number 22. In the Bible, we started reading a while ago in verse 39. Watch this now. It's a place of solitude. It's a place of supplication. It's a place of sorrow and struggle. It's a place of surrender. I read something a while back that came to me in my email from Brother Adrian Rogers. You say, Brother Adrian's dead, but he's still speaking. Amen. Amen. He's still got a ministry on the internet. He's still preaching. Amen. On TV. Still preaching on the radio. He was out of Memphis, Tennessee. But I got an email, and he said something like, along these lines. He said, if you stop and examine your life, he said, there's a reason that you don't want to get alone with Him. How many knows he told it right there? There's a reason you don't want to get along with Him. There's a reason you don't want to get quiet before Him. He said you don't want to deal with what needs to be dealt with. It's easier to go. It's easier to keep something plugged into your ears, keep a radio turned up. Amen. Don't want to be quiet. Don't want to sit at His feet. Don't want to hear His word like Mary did. Rather be like Martha. Amen. And just go, go, go like the Energizer Bunny. But I'll give you something right here. This is precious. Not only a place of solitude, supplication, sorrow and strength, a place of surrender, but it's a place. The Lord showed me this afternoon. In verse 42, Luke 22, saying, Father, if it be possible, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. Watch this, verse 43. This is the only place it's said in all four Gospels. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. I like that. You say, Preacher, where did that happen? Gethsemane. That happened at Gethsemane. You need some strength? You say, I can't go on another mile, preacher. I tell you what, from a Gethsemane you can. Because the God of heaven will visit with you. And the God of heaven will visit with me. And the God of heaven will strengthen you. And the God of heaven will strengthen me. We need that strength, don't we? That we might go on another mile. There's great power revealed in this experience. Let me show it to you and I'll be done. Watch this now. In John chapter 18 and verse number 6. Over there in John chapter 18, I wondered what was in this for this message. John chapter 18. Let me show you what the Lord showed me this afternoon. John chapter 18 and verse number 6. How many remembers Judas brings those men and they're coming in there? And well, let me just read it to you. Judas knew the place in verse 2. Judas then, having received, verse 3, a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, he cometh thither with lanterns and torches. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, he went forth and he said unto them, whom seek ye? Then answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I'm he. And Judas also, which betrayed them, stood with them. Betrayed him, stood with them. Now watch this. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. How many like to see God just dump so much power in this place? You say, preacher, you're speaking out of turn. No, I'm not. I don't know how many people's here tonight. There might be 100 folk here tonight. You let 100 folk find a Gethsemane and you watch God bust this community wide open for the glory of God. We'll have people 5 minutes late, 10 minutes late, 15 minutes late. Some people wouldn't even make it to the service because down yonder somewhere God said, turn off. God said, pray. God said, talk to them. God said this. God said that. We just have us a Gethsemane. We can have the power and the presence of a holy God in our life and do what he wants us to do for the glory of God. The angel came and strengthened him. I don't know about you tonight. I've been at some places in 27 years of being saved. Found out a while ago Brother Ed got saved. I believe it was July of 1987. I told Sister Margaret. I said, Sister Margaret, I was saved in 87. And she rejoiced. She said, when? I said, just a few months before in February of 1987. I'll tell you something right now. God still wants to save folk. You know what he needs? He needs some intercessors. You know what he needs? He needs some men and women that will have a Gethsemane in their life. That will come to a place. I'm going to tell you something right now. There's some stuff in us, I didn't say you, in us that doesn't press out too easily. But I tell you what, in a Gethsemane, I believe God can press it out of us. By the way, I think some of you old timers will know what I'm talking about. When he does, it'll get juicy where you live. Say amen right there. I'm telling you, God will squeeze your heart. It'll run out your eyeballs, and God will bless you. God will bless your family. God will bless the church. God will bless the preacher. God will bless us all. Amen. We'll find us a Gethsemane. Now watch this now tonight. I'm not being critical, but I am trying to be truthful. I'm talking for me. 27 years. I would be a liar tonight if I didn't tell you the truth. And the truth is, in the 27 years of being saved by the grace of God, in these stories, Brother Grizzle, I've been more like the disciples than I have like the Savior. I've spent more time sleeping. You say, preacher, you shouldn't admit that. How in the world are we going to get any help if we don't get honest? I tell you what, I didn't know you was here, Brother Jimmy. I thought you was with your daddy a while ago when I looked back there. But I'm going to tell you what. I don't want the next 27 to be that way just because the last 27 was. I want God to give me a Gethsemane. He wants to press me. Just press me, Lord. It'll make me more like Jesus. Amen. I tell you something tonight. You see, those ladies, they roll out that dough. I'm not talking about money now. I'm talking about that stuff that's got a lot of us overweight. That dough. They roll out that dough. And then they cut it, don't they? They press it out. Then they cut it. Them cookies at Christmas time. How many like to have a good old sugar cookie right now? Or a peanut butter Christmas tree. Amen. A glass of milk. That'd be good, wouldn't it? One man used to tell me, he said, "Preacher, we could make it to 1 o'clock if you wouldn't talk about food while you're preaching." Amen. But I tell you tonight, I believe Sister Teresa, when he's pressing us out, when he cuts us out, it'll be just right. We'll be shaped just like he wants us to be shaped. Oh, I'm going to tell you, under that roller, amen, some of you men have been around that rolling pin. Say amen right there. Under that roller, we feel the pressure. But I tell you, to be shaped, to have him come along and shape us like the Son of God would make it worth it all. I would say tonight, if you said to Peter and the sons of Zebedee, James and John, could you imagine these men going back and reading this? Listen to me. Don't you understand? They didn't know, Brother John, what was going on. Just a stone's throw over yonder. They didn't know the Son of God was so broken and so burdened that blood was coming out of his forehead. Amen. Now they got to go back and read it. Amen. What were we doing while that was going on? Sleeping. Right. Not once. Not twice. But three times. Sleeping. Sleeping. I'm not fussing at us tonight. I'm trying to challenge us tonight. Let's wake up. Let's try to stay awake till he comes. Let's get in that Gethsemane with him. You say, "Preacher, it's dangerous to pray whatever it takes." I know that. Say amen. But I tell you what, you get a bunch of people saying, "God, whatever it takes. Help us, Lord, to shake our community. Help us to shake our country. Whatever it takes." But you see, Brother John, you can't say, "Lord, whatever it takes," in preacher's lap. That's your Gethsemane. Whatever it takes in my life. I can't speak for John or Brother Wayne or Brother Gary Joe. But they can speak for themselves. That I can find me a Gethsemane and ask God, make me the pastor that I ought to be. Make me the husband that I ought to be. Make me the daddy that I ought to be. He said, "Preacher, what in the world's the matter with you? I ain't there yet." He's still working on me. And I want him to. I want him to. Some of you men have built and done different projects. There ain't nothing like the satisfaction of getting something done. Would somebody say amen? Getting her done. Just walk away from it and it's finished. Nothing like that satisfaction. One day I'll be satisfied when I wake with his likeness. But until then, he's still working. He ain't done yet. There's still room for improvement. Amen. And I believe we'll get a lot of improvement. In Gethsemane, in Gethsemane. Let's ask God this week, "Lord, help me to find the Gethsemane." It's an oil press. It's a place where there'll be some pressure. But I like what the girl sung a while ago. Y'all come back, sing that song again. We'll close service out like that. Come on. That potter, he knows just what we can take. Say amen. He knows. He knows how to turn the heat up. He knows just exactly what we can take. God speaks to your heart. Maybe he's spoken to your heart tonight. You need this altar. Just gather around this altar and say, "Lord, help me to wake up. Help me, Lord, not to sleep. While my friends and my neighbors, my loved ones, are going to hell. Help me, God, to enter into that Gethsemane. Help me, God, for my children's sake. Help me for my church's sake. Help me for my country's sake. If you need this altar tonight, just come and pray. Talk to Him tonight. Ask the God of heaven to give you a Gethsemane, a place of surrender, a place where there's great sorrow, a place where He can have His way in our lives tonight.